Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
Well, welcome to Vision Sunday. You're like, what is that? Oh, I'm excited today, and I just want to share this morning on this Sunday. Later on today, we're having our annual business meeting, and so right after the service, so I encourage you, if you'd like to stay after and be a part of that, especially all of our members, that you stay after and be a part of that. But I didn't want this just to be something that happens at our annual business meeting. God has put a vision in my heart. And I want to unpack for you what the Lord has been putting in my heart for our church. So if you're a guest today, maybe this is your first time, maybe you've come just a little bit, I just want to encourage you. This is not typical of what our Sunday services are. There'll be a message in the scriptures today as I preach. But today I'm going to be talking particularly to our church family here, because my prayer is that you'll catch the vision that I believe that God has put in my heart. As I've shared this with our leadership, I feel like they also feel this as well, that this is the direction that God is wanting us to move as a church, and that we've been doing some of this, but to be more intentional with what God is doing. Each year I pray about what is the theme for the coming year. And last year we kicked off, I felt like I was reading through Nehemiah, and that God had put on my heart rebuild, revive, and refocus. And so we kicked off the year teaching through the book of Nehemiah, and watched God do some rebuilding things within our church. We saw that there was some refreshing and reviving and renewal. We found that there was a renewed focus. And so as I began this last fall to pray and say, God, what do you have for us in this coming year, the Lord began to stir in me a vision out of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And it came as I began to consider over this last year some of the things that God began to already do within our church body and through people within our church body, doors that God was opening up and certain needs and people. And so the Lord placed on my heart Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. See, in Acts chapter 1, here's the context of what's happening there. Jesus was gathering together with his closest followers after his resurrection. He was preparing to give them some final instructions because he was going to be ascending to the right hand of the Father. And so he was gathering them around to give them some final instructions. And they were asking some questions. Jesus, we followed you. You're the Messiah. You're the one who is the anointed king in the line of King David. We're still under Roman occupation. Now is the time. It's now the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And Jesus unpacks for them a commission and a vision that is a little different than what their focus was about. In fact, I think it was much bigger and broader than what they had anticipated. And as he begins to share with them, he shares with them a different model of how the kingdom would come about. How would the kingdom of God, how would the kingdom of heaven come upon the earth? What would be the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament prophetic words that have been given about what the Messiah would do? And so Jesus begins to unpack a strategy for them that I believe is a four-dimensional strategy for them to take the gospel and the kingdom of heaven to the entire world. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, this is what the scripture that God has really put in my heart, not only I believe for this year, but in the coming years as well for us as a church. And it says this: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I believe that Acts 1:8 is a divinely insightful direction that Jesus gave to his followers before he left this planet. And as we progress through the book of Acts, we begin to see, and the book of Acts is kind of a history and a birth of the church and the expansion of the church throughout then the known world. And we reach through that vision, we see that vision begin to unpack within the book of Acts. And Acts 1:8 provides for us a template for not only as followers and disciples of Jesus, but also as his church, for building the church and changing our world. Building the church and changing our world. How many think that's important? Amen. Jesus told his followers that they would be spirit-empowered witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Literally, this would be the strategy, or this would be what God would use strategically for the gospel to be shared to the very ends of the earth. And even though I read in Acts 1:8 so many different times and I've read it before, last fall it just really grabbed a hold of me, and the Holy Spirit brought this passage in light of what I believe that God is calling us as a church, Painesville Assembly of God, this local body of believers to come together, and a mission and a vision for that. So it's upon this verse I kind of want to unpack the vision that the Lord has put in my heart and show you what I believe God desires to fulfill through this church. Number one, God has called us to be a spirit-filled church. God has called us to be a spirit-filled church, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Before Jesus unpacked what he wanted his followers to do, before he told them where he wanted them to go, the first thing that he told them is that he would empower them to do it. The vision was going to be greater than they could do in their own talent, in their own abilities, in their own resources. It was going to be much greater than what they could do in their human strength. They were going to need to be filled with the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit if they were going to accomplish what he was calling them to do. Amen. I hope you'll get excited more than by the end. Acts 1:4 and 5, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Again, before he released them to be witnesses, he instructed them to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. He told them that they would be baptized by the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. They would be empowered to do what he was calling them to do. And these instructions were later fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. And that's when we see this on the day of Pentecost. They were praying together and all of a sudden something happened. Acts chapter 2 verses 2 to 4. Suddenly a sound like a blowing and a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This was the result of a divine enablement. A divine enablement where the Holy Spirit then being working, the crowd was stirred up who had been those who were living in Jerusalem and those who were visiting there for the Feast of Pentecost were around. But there was something that had been stirred by this outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon this group of disciples that were praying and seeking God together and waiting in Jerusalem, waiting for what Jesus had told them to do, following his instructions. And then hearing the confusion, Peter stood up on that day of Pentecost and he begins to speak and begins to unpack the scriptures, explaining to them what was going on, talking about Jesus, who was the Messiah, who had come and who had been crucified and who had been raised from the dead. And through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Peter began to preach to the crowd, which then came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? So here it is, these ordinary fishermen, these folks who didn't have a formal discipleship education, but had spent time with Jesus, who were witnesses of his death on the cross and his resurrection. And there they were hearing his instructions to wait, to be empowered with this promised gift that had been promised throughout the Old Testament, that John the Baptist himself even knew, that there was one who comes after me. I baptize in water, but one who comes after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so here it is. Jesus says, listen, there's a work to do. There's a mission I have called you to do. There's a reason you followed me. There's a reason I invited you. But before you can do any of it, you need to be filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. And so now, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter preaches, and under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the hearts of those in the crowd are cut, and they say, what shall we do? What shall we do? We're not right with the Lord. And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This is what Jesus said they needed to wait on. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction and points us to our need for salvation and our need for a Messiah. It is not simply being persuasive. It's not simply having a good speech. It's not simply having some kind of a creative sales message that makes people feel nice and guilty and afraid of going to hell, and so maybe I'll turn to the Lord. This is more than that. This is a revelation of who Jesus is and a revelation of our own sinfulness that comes from the conviction of the Holy Spirit as the anointing was upon Peter as he was a witness of what happened and began to share about the things that he'd seen or heard. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself here. But it was the gift of the Holy Spirit and the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit that fell upon Peter, who had once been so afraid to be able to speak up on behalf of Jesus that he denied knowing the Lord 3 times during his trial, but now was willing to stand up for Jesus. Why? Because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. It was not a human-made boldness, but it was a spirit-empowered boldness. And the work of God that is put before them was not accomplished because Peter was smarter than anybody else, or John had more talent than anybody else, or was more persuasive or innovative than anybody else. It happened because they were a people that valued being empowered and waiting upon the Holy Spirit to fill them and empower them for the work that he had called them to do. God has given us a vision. Before I get to the practical of what that looks like in our church, I want you to know that nothing that God puts in our heart to do will be accomplished aside from being filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. I believe that God is calling us to press in this year and to seek the Spirit of God and to be a people who are Spirit-filled first and foremost, that we might be able to go out and accomplish what God has put in our hearts to do. Because if we want to build the church and change our world, we can only do that if we are walking in the power and in the anointing and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, God has called us to be a church with an effective gospel witness. And you will be my witnesses. What's the job description of these followers? It's simple. to be his witnesses. You know what the dictionary definition is? I looked it up. Puts it this way: one who has seen and heard something. One who furnishes evidence. A witness is someone who can say, I know this is true. In the court of law, they swear on the Bible and they promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Right? That's what good witnesses do. They simply tell about what they've seen and heard. They testify about what they've experienced, what they've witnessed, what they've encountered, what they see, what they observe, what they know to be true. And that's the mandate of these followers of Jesus. Let me walk you through a little bit of scripture through the book of Acts. We're just going to go scripture by scripture. Acts 2:32. God raised this Jesus to life. This is Peter preaching. And we are all witnesses of that fact. Acts 3:15. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. We're witnesses of this. Acts 10:39 and 40, he's talking to a Gentile centurion by the name of Cornelius. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him, hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. They said, we are witnesses of everything he did. Acts 13:30 and 31. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. All right, one more. Acts 22:14 and 15. The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witnesses to all men of what you have seen and heard. How many in here you say, man, I've encountered Jesus Christ, his salvation. He has changed my life, right? He has forgiven me. I am forgiven. How many would say, I know that Jesus Christ is real? I know that he's not dead in a grave. I know he's not just a good preacher, a good teacher. I know he's not just a prophet. I know that he's the Son of God who is alive and been raised from the dead. Right? I know it. You know what your job is? Just tell somebody else what you've encountered and experienced. I mean, we make this so complicated. We think we got to have like all of these arguments and all of these things, and we come up against, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what about, and like, so then we get fearful and we get intimidated and we're like, well, I don't know if I want to share my faith. I mean, we don't talk about religion because that just kind of like, you know, divides, and I don't want to get into that, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that. Listen, somebody around you sick, and you've experienced the healing of the Lord, you just simply say, you know what? I understand you're sick. I know you're going through it. I remember going through it. But I'm going to tell you something. I serve a God who heals. And he healed my life. Right? You've gone through something in your life. And man, you're struggling in your finances. And you went through it. But God has blessed you. And you trusted him. And he's turned it around. Listen, this is what, man, come meet a man. Right? Come meet a man. Man, I was bound in addiction, or I was lost. I was bound in my sin and in my shame. But man, I met somebody. I don't have to be in guilt anymore or shame anymore or bondage anymore because I met someone who set me free. His name is Jesus. I'd like to invite you to know him too. Well, and he has called us to be his witnesses. They testify to the truth about the resurrection. And as followers of Jesus Christ, and what I see for our church is that every person who is a believer and a follower of Jesus would first seek and be filled with the Spirit of God, and second would testify and simply be a witness, a gospel witness in this community, talking about what we've seen and we've heard. As a church, our mission is to be spirit-empowered witnesses of Jesus and the good news. The Jesus mandate in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 does not stop with simply being spirit-empowered witnesses, but he tells them where they are to live out as spirit-empowered witnesses. The spirit-empowered witness vision is four-dimensional. In the church, Acts 1:8, let's read it again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, maybe you're not familiar with Middle Eastern geography, but when Jesus laid out the Acts 1:8 vision here, it was the spread and impact of the gospel that was moving out towards the centerpiece of Jerusalem, the very place where he had died and been crucified and was raised again, the city of David, the place where David had been king, but it was also the place of the temple. It was the center place of worship within the Middle Eastern world. It was that center place. You wonder why there's so much conflict over that particular place today. Let me tell you something. It's not just natural. There's something supernatural and biblical that is the reason why there's so much conflict there. You can't understand what's happening there unless you understand what's going on scripturally. And it was there in that central place, that central place of worship, that central place where the temple was at. And you know anything about the temple? It was the place where they had believed that under Solomon, God's presence during that temple had fallen. And it was the place where the center of worship was and the presence of God was. But in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, it was the place where Jesus had discipled his followers. It was the central place. It was home base. And from there, like concentric circles, it was to move outwardly into Judea and Samaria and eventually impact the ends of the earth. What does that look like for us? Not in Jerusalem, but here in Painesville, Ohio. Right? What does that look like for us here? Well, Jerusalem, again, marked the local area where they lived and where they worshiped. Again, where they lived and where they worshiped. Home base was the place where the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost that we read about earlier took place, where 3,000 new disciples were added to the church and the church was being formed. And right there in Jerusalem, if we take a look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says they devoted themselves there to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In the Acts 1:8 vision that God has put in my heart, Jerusalem represents our local church. It represents church life. It represents what happens here locally as these disciples came together to learn and to grow and to fellowship and to participate in communion together as we did this morning and to pray together. They cared for one another. They supported one another. They met corporately in the temple courts, and then they also met in small groups from home to home. They enjoyed their times of worship together, and as a result, they would invite their friends and their families and their neighbors and their co-workers to come and join them, to come and be a part, to come and experience what they had experienced when someone was in need of healing. Come, we pray for people for healing. We believe that God heals, and they saw miracles that were taking place, but they were coming together in their context together as the body of believers, as these disciples, learning and growing and listening to teaching, but praying together and caring for one another and fellowshipping together and discipleship. It was wonderful, right? Until it wasn't a little bit later on. There was some conflict a little bit later on. But by and large, this was the central place, kind of this supporting relationships and discipleship and serving and personal evangelism and worship. When the local church is healthy, it leads to a healthy gospel presence and witness in the community in which it is located. I believe that people were added to the church daily. That was an indication that as the believers were growing together and their relationship with the Lord, and as they were developing this community life together, that that community life together and that gospel witness in the presence of Jesus led to others who said, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. You see, God's call to us is one in which from the local church, as we grow and are discipled, and as we come together as a local body of believers together, that we cannot neglect, that's important. That's critical. That's so important. And it's important that it gives you a place to be able to invite your friends and your family when you tell them about Jesus. Well, come on and experience it with me. And my vision and the hope, the vision that I believe that God has placed on my heart is that this local body, that we would grow and we would build together one another, this local body of believers, where we would grow in discipleship, where we would grow in our relationship with Jesus, and we would grow in our relationship with one another in such a way that the unity that we would have and the growth that we would have would be something that we would want to invite everybody to be a part of, that they might experience Jesus. You see, in Acts 3 and 4, when Peter and John are arrested, they're told not to speak in the name of Jesus. So they go back to the believers in Jerusalem and they share the experience. And then they pray for boldness to continue the calling they had received. And they went back to their people, that is the local church that they had, for support. And Acts 4:31 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak and spoke the word of God boldly. Why? Because life beats you up. Life beats you up. It's difficult. There are times where people don't like to accept the change that is happening in your life or the things that are happening. We need to be able to support and pray together and allow the Lord to fill us once again with His Holy Spirit. In our Acts 8:1-8 vision, Jerusalem represents the critical ministries of this local church. The call to be Spirit-empowered witnesses must be cultivated as we grow in relationship with one another in discipleship, serving the Lord and serving one another, as we personally share our faith with family and friends and co-workers and neighbors, inviting them to receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and join our community. The call must be to build the church and change our world. And the vision must not include the neglect of believers who worship together here at PAG. It includes the projects that we have, the facility improvements that are necessary to facilitate the ministries of worship and relationship building and discipleship and evangelism and service. It's one of the reasons why we are launching in 2 weeks Emotionally Healthy Relationships course. I truly believe that this is critical for our discipleship, of knowing how to love one another and how to relate to one another and how to deal with conflict from a biblical perspective, to grow in our maturity and our relationship with one another. So I want to invite you to be a part of that, to grow in that, to join that, to sign up to be a part of that. You can do that online or at the Welcome Center. This fall, we're going to relaunch our life group ministry. We're going to train up leaders to disciple and cultivate biblical relationships from house to house. This is a part of the vision as we continue to pour into the ministries that we have and not neglect these important ministries of discipleship and fellowship and growth. Additionally, we're continuing to work on some updates and improvements to our facility right here in our sanctuary at the forefront. And wonderful, diverse team that's been working on a plan to facilitate our worship and the ministry that builds a church and grows the believers who worship here. Our local church is the hub. It's the local body of believers growing in Christ, loving one another, serving and giving and inviting those in our spheres of influence to come and experience Jesus. The second dimension is Judea. What is Judea? Judea was the surrounding region, the neighboring region. It was the city of Jerusalem was located in the region of Judea. The early disciples weren't just called to launch the church in Jerusalem, but to populate the gospel witness out into their community, into their surrounding regions with the message of Jesus Christ. And while not identical to Jerusalem, reaching Judea was still to reach people who were similar to them in a similar culture. And the church soon spread and throughout the chapters of Acts to reach people throughout the surrounding region. In our Acts 1:8 vision, Judea represents our local communities and counties where God would give us opportunities to have a gospel presence. This includes here in Painesville and in Lake County. But it also includes a community south of us in Geauga County in Chardon. How can we provide a gospel witness to our community? Well, I'm excited to share some strategic initiatives that God has put on our heart as a local church and also opened up the door for us to be a part of. One of those is Chardon Assembly of God in a relationship that we call a parent-affiliated church relationship. In fact, right now, this morning, we have some folks right from our church that are down ministering at Chardon Assembly of God. Pastor Kevin is preaching and Betsy Scott's leading worship down there. And we're having an opportunity to help that local church. You see, about last year, God began to put on our hearts a burden for this local church that had been without a pastor for a year and a half, that had been struggling to gain their footing. In fact, probably on the verge of closing if something didn't happen. We didn't want to see that happen. The Ohio Ministry Network and their Ohio for Jesus vision invited us to be a part in what the Assemblies of God calls a parent-affiliated church relationship, which means that we take that local body, that local assembly under our wing, and we come alongside and help them to be revitalized, to regain their strength and influence and impact in the area of Chardon. How many believe that Chardon needs a spirit-filled presence and a church in their community? Amen. God has called us to be a partner with that, to provide oversight and support and assisting them in securing a pastor, providing volunteer and ministry support, financial oversight, support and coaching and helping them in areas of worship and children's ministry and youth ministry and coming alongside in outreaches. And we had a work day in January, and many of you came out to help us with that work day. And some from our church even went down and put a new water heater in for them. These are the kinds of things that we believe God is calling us to do to restore that church to health. And the vision is that in the next 3 to 4 years, there'll be a healthy church that we release back into the Chardon area that is independent and no longer a part of Painesville Assembly of God, but is healthy and growing and has an impact in that community. God has opened up a door at Riverside with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Pastor Sam started a new partnership with Riverside High School through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes this last September. This is some things he has to say. He said he began a conversation with the regional rep, and then it opened up to a conversation in August, early September, with the principal at Riverside, and then meant to discuss the partnership. They wanted to reach a generation of students. And so about 2 weeks after that meeting, they had their first FCA meeting, and they are meeting at the school. They are a club at the school that meets after school every Tuesday right there on the grounds, right? They've been able to partner with teachers and other staff members and coaches, and these partnerships have allowed them access to reaching Riverside for Jesus. So every Tuesday at 2:30 at 10 a.m., if you know someone, they're adding new faces. Right now they've got about 10 students that are attending, but they got new folks that are attending, new students that are attending each time. He says they talk about Jesus. They're currently walking through the model of the Great Commission right now, and they're just encouraging students through a devotional in their walk with the Lord. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting. There's another opportunity. It's been a while since maybe you've heard about it. We talked about it a couple of years ago and kind of brought it up. Some time has passed, but LifeWise Academy. LifeWise Academy provides biblical education during school hours, utilizing what passed an Ohio House bill that has recently passed, allowing there to be a time during the school day that students could be released, a release time for them to receive biblical education during school hours. And we have three folks right here from Painesville Assembly of God that are part of a steering committee with that. And as of a couple of weeks ago, we're at the place where we're ready to begin conversations with Riverside with a goal of being able to launch this in the fall and be able to launch this. They're looking for a board. They're also looking for a director, and they need $1,500 match funds to get this started. So we're going to try to raise $1,500, and there's a matching grant with that to help get this launched in this area. This is a part of reaching our community, isn't it? And that's the initial startup grant to launch that. To ministry, it's boots on the ground witness to kids in our community. And it's exciting because the Lord is working in ways for us to be able to get this going. If you want to participate in that, you can talk with me. I'll help you to understand how you can participate and get that $1,500 raised for that matching grant for that. I got to keep going. My goodness. Samaria. That's the third one. This was historically a great tension between Jews and Samaritans. It was considered to be the Samaritans were considered to be a compromised ethnic blend of Israelites and the Gentile nations. And they were not only a different group than the Jews, but they were treated with hostility. The hostility was further exacerbated by certain Samaritan religious practices that defiled Jewish tradition. In the Acts 1:8, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Philip, who was a deacon from Jerusalem, filled with the Holy Spirit, had the gift of evangelism, and he went to Samaria as a result of persecution. But when he arrived, he began to share the gospel. He had a gospel witness in Samaria, a people that were very different culturally than those in Jerusalem. And as he shared the gospel with them, they came to faith in Jesus, and many of them were baptized in water. And then Peter and John came along from Jerusalem, laid hands on them, and they too were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and a gospel presence was formed in Samaria. You see, the Samaritans represent the vision that God has placed before us as a church to bear a gospel witness to those who are different culturally than us. We live in a community where there are different cultures all around us right here in our community. Right here in our community. And there are people that are in need of hearing the gospel in these cultures. Different from us in ethnicity and race, different among us from age and different economic demographics. Acts 1:8 calls us to be spirit-empowered witnesses to people who are cross-culturally different from ourselves. And we have seen several doors of ministry open to us where we're ministering to people in a cross-cultural context right here in our local community. One of those is Project Hope. Several years ago, God opened up the door for Pastor Kevin to come and bring a team from PAG. And every Friday night, they share the gospel at Project Hope. This team has grown. And Pastor Kevin and Don Betts are serving on now the shelter's board. And there are opportunities to make meals. We've got a group that's making a meal for Project Hope and to help with cleaning with their facilities and a whole lot more. The door is wide open for us to be able to meet the need of the homeless within our community. We partner with the Lake County Foster Care System. Each year we join hands with them and provide gift cards for teenagers that are in foster care. This year, because of your generosity, we gave three $25 gift cards to every teenager that was in our Lake County Foster Care System. Because of you. The director, when I met with her, told me this. She said, "I'm so glad you guys do this, because if you didn't, we wouldn't have anything to give to these teenagers in foster care at Christmas." She invited us to participate throughout the year, as they oftentimes have need. And so we're working on building a relationship to increase our support to those who are in foster care right here in Lake County. Right here in Lake County. We have people serving at Hannah's home. We have people serving at Ivy Women's Center. We have a monthly outreach to Vista Springs Nursing Home where we care for those who can't get out to come to church. We partner with our Lake County NAACP and join hands with pastors cross-culturally across our community and plan to continue to do so as God opens up doors for us to serve with those in our community to reach those cross-culturally or different than ourselves. To the ends of the earth, that's the last one, right? The final charge. The mission of the early church was to plant churches, to share the gospel in places where they had never heard. And that vision continues. That's missions has always been a part of the vision for our church. Last year, you helped me raise funds to send pastors in Tanzania to a pastor's conference to be trained. Additionally, in 2018, we had given over $36,000 to build a church planting school, which got to be a part of the dedication of that this last year. And again, these are the kinds of things we do when you give and you partner with us in missions. Additionally, as a church, we support over 65 missionaries a month, both here in the U.S. and around the world. And last year we gave $2,500 to provide Christmas for students at a school in Thailand where Kelly and Judah Tana serve. Go ahead, you can play that video now. If it'll play. Continue partnerships like that with our missionaries, but not only encouraging you to continue to pray and to give, but we want to encourage you to go. And part of the Acts 1:8 vision is that we might have some short-term missions trips that we put out that we would love for you to pray and be a part of, to be able to go and to be a part of what God is doing and sharing the gospel around the world. And part of the Acts 1:8 vision is that we would be able to come alongside and help reduce the cost of those trips so that we can get as many people to be able to go and serve in missions as possible. Worship team, will you come? I'm closing it. I know I went overtime today. I apologize. But I really believe that this is important for us. Acts 1:8 vision is a God-sized vision that's going to take all of us to make it happen. It will take followers of Jesus pressing in and seeking and saying, will you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Being empowered by the Holy Spirit, Spirit-empowered witnesses that will serve in areas of ministry right here in our local church in Jerusalem, partnering and joining and being a part of ministries like LifeWise and Riverside FCA and Project Hope and Hannah's Home and many other areas that we can partner with to be able to reach our local community, being a part of Chardon Assembly of God and our Judea and Samaria, and then giving generously to missions. How can you join the Acts 1:8 vision? Pray persistently. Will you join us in prayer? It's going to take prayer, right, to see this happen. It's going to be a people coming together and praying and saying, fill us with your Holy Spirit and provide for what we need and open doors that we might be able to fulfill the vision that you put in our hearts. To serve passionately, consider developing and using your gifts to serve here in our local church, maybe joining the team, the revitalization team at Chardon AG, or to be a part of community outreaches, joining a missions team. Give generously. Will you partner with us financially by being faithful with your tithes? And will you consider giving above and beyond to a new funding vision that we are starting here at Painesville Assembly of God called the Acts 1:8 Vision Fund, which is going to help to reach with projects that specifically help build the church and change our world in Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria and the ends of the earth. When you give to the Acts 1:8 Vision Fund, you're enabling us to support our partnership with Chardon Assembly of God, the startup of LifeWise Academy, the remodel of the sanctuary, our missions projects, like our partnership with Gap Thailand, and ministering and being able to provide for ministers right here in our local community that cross cultures. I believe that God has given us this vision and that strategically He has opened up doors for us to build the church and change our world by living as Spirit-empowered witnesses in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is a vision that I believe is God is calling our church to pursue. And I believe that we will see more people come to faith in Jesus Christ as we pursue this vision. I believe it's God's mandate for us to build the church and change our world. But it's going to take all of us joining together, seeking the Spirit, and doing our part. In what way would God put on your heart to join the Acts 1:8 vision? In what way will you participate in allowing this vision to be fulfilled? Because God has put it in our hearts to accomplish. It takes all of us. How will you join this today? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you today for putting vision in our hearts. Thank you today for the opportunities you put before us, for the open doors. Thank you today, Lord, that we have a local church that we can come together and grow together and minister together and share and encourage one another. Thank you, Lord, for open doors of opportunity to change communities, to partner and see communities around us, our local community and others impacted by being a part of a gospel witness, to be able to minister cross-culturally and to be able to share the gospel with those who are lost and who are hurting both here at home and around the world. Lord, may you continue to stir in us and fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might be gospel witnesses here in our community, in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Paintsville Assembly of God, visit paintsvilleag.com.